When I heard the topic, my thoughts immediately went to, and I said it to Advaita Chandra. Prabhupada used a phrase, it's not a new phrase, but he used it from time to time. Unity in diversity. The harmony sounds something like unity, or sounds like unity in diversity. Harmony means, so if somebody sings soprano and somebody sings alto and somebody sings bass, and it's a three-part harmony. But someone's singing soprano. You know the term, you know what soprano means?
High, very high voice.
That's a soprano voice. And bass is down here. And there's then in between. So they can sing in harmony provided there's unity. They have the same song sheet. And there's different voices that are singing the same song sheet. And they may not even, you know, the one may be a harmonic chord of that one, may not be the same, but, you know, it harmonizes with. And so, that's a musical comparison of harmony. Now, interpersonal, whether it's in the family or in any relationships, let's say community, we'll go to the next word, respect. Whether somebody can sing nicely or not. You know, it's nice to sing with somebody that can sing nicely, but sometimes I have lots of experience of kirtan, and the person that really sings off key sings, sits right in the front, and they sing really loud, right? You've had the experience too. Really loud and off key. Okay, they're very enthusiastic. I'm going to look at the enthusiasm. I'm not going to look at they're off key and really loud. But then that's the unity part, because then you can see the devotion from the person's heart. Even they may not be able to carry a tune so well, or like they couldn't carry a tune if their life depended on it, but they're very enthusiastic and sincere. And so attention, where there's respect, I have this phrase, it's not scriptural or anything like that, not even like find it in the book of cliches. Respect is the fabric of relationship. In Sanskrit, there's this phrase, otram and protam. Those are the terms that describe whether, like, your son is very fascinated by this mat that he's sitting on. So there's threads that go this way and threads that go that way. And that's all it is. It's two threads, one that goes this way and one that goes that way. Otram and protam. And because of otram and protam, you got a fabric. So it's thread and thread. So where there's respect, similarly, then you can have a relationship. And the converse is, if there isn't respect, you don't have a relationship. Whether it's in the home, or between friends, or people that associate with one another, or community. So when respect breaks down, then you have disharmony. It's okay if the person sits right out front and they can't carry a melody if their life depended on it, they sing really loud. I mean, it's a little challenging, but their sincerity is what carries the message. One of Srila Prabhupada's his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he had literally thousands of disciples. And his preference for kirtan was a person who sang very enthusiastically, but he didn't sing so sweetly. I mean, he didn't carry the melody so well. But his sincerity was superlative. And his ear could hear his sincerity, and he chose him to speak over one who had this, like, super excellent voice, but didn't have the same devotion. I'm speaking about now, you know, the basis of respect. The basis of respect. Are you tired?
What?
You're a little tired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Need to lie down?
No.
Need to stand up?
No.
You'll be okay?
Yep.
Okay. Especially with your mom right next to you, you'll be all right. Yeah. Okay. Respect goes to, fundamentally, the soul. A phrase that I use is, this is the intrinsic worth of every living being. They're Krishna's part and parcel. So, I don't know your son. I'm just getting to know him a little bit. He's playful, but he'll sit and listen, but inside, so there's different qualities outside, but inside, there's a spirit soul. And that spirit soul is part of Krishna. And over there is a tired spirit soul, but, you know, also happy to be here.
Yeah, and also spiritual.
You're also a spirit soul, right? Okay. And, you know, the little bug that's crawling across the floor somewhere, or the fly that's flying around, or the plant that's growing out there in the garden, and they're also spirit soul. They're not in a human form, but they're spirit soul. So respect goes to the spirit soul, because that's immediately connection with the Supreme Spirit. We'll say the opposite. If I don't respect the spirit soul, is it possible to simultaneously respect God and disrespect the spirit soul? The respect goes to the spirit soul. And then among spirit souls, it's kind of like a pyramid. There are those that are unregulated, and there are those that are regulated by some kind of religion, and then there are those that are deeply interested in spiritual realization, and those that are engaged in devotional service, and those that are pure in their devotion. So, respect may be varying in degrees on the spiritual plane according to one's trajectory of spiritual progress. But respect goes to everyone. And now you wanted to hear something specifically about family. God has entrusted me as the husband or the wife with a particular spirit soul companion for many, many years of my life. And this is a spirit soul who I am to assist serving in their journey towards God. Now, where that conception, spiritual conception, is absent, then you can have respect for other things, but it's tentative. Because the material energy is always changing. I'm speaking in spiritual terms now. Respect can be intermittent depending upon circumstances. If the circumstances are going very nicely in a good direction, certainly there's respect. But there are times when circumstances aren't going so nicely, and that's when respect gets challenged on the material plane. And that's, you know, when the material energy starts creeping in. How do you maintain respect? Spiritual conception. Respect goes because this is a part and parcel of Krishna. That's not changing based on circumstances. And another element of respect is when you respect someone, what's the The constitutional position of a soul, real simple, is to serve.
Right.
Right. We have so many differences, but one thing we have in common is we all serve. That's what all souls do, we serve. Different persons in different ways, but we all serve. So that's our constitutional position. This is the soul who I'm in a relationship with, of husband and wife, and dependent son or daughter. Now, these are souls that are part of Krishna that have entrusted to me to serve. And my respect goes to them because my respect goes to God who entrusted them for me to serve. It's what I'm saying here is we're putting God in the center. So there's two souls serving one another, but God's in the center. They're serving one another as part of their service to God. Not just serving one another. This is in Queen Kunti's prayers, where I'm keeping it really, trying to keep it simple. There's a discussion. When Queen Kunti says, here's the scene. Krishna is leaving Hastinapur. That's where the prayers are being spoken. Krishna came all the way from Dwarka because there was a big problem. The Kauravas were mean and trying to destroy the Pandavas. So Krishna came. Situation became settled. Now Krishna's going to leave. So Kunti pleaded with Krishna, please stay. And if it takes calamity to bring you, let the calamities come. Calamity after calamity after calamity, because then we'll get your association. Who prays for calamities? She's praying for Krishna's association. And if he comes, when there's calamity, let the calamities come. But now you're going to leave. And so she's feeling, because she's a mother of her sons, I and my sons will feel separation from you when you leave. But my father and all of my other relatives, they're in Dwarka, and they're feeling pain of separation because you're here, and when you go back, they'll be happy. So we'll be unhappy while they're happy, or they'll be unhappy while we're happy. She prays, let the material component of my attachments be taken away. Because mine, my family, and my family. Prabhupada explains a wife or woman has two families. Her father, mother, and that family. And her husband and her children and that family. And there's affinity for both families. Naturally. So she's saying, please take away the material portion of that affinity, and it leaves only the spiritual portion of that affinity. And then Prabhupada discusses in the purport, having a spiritual relationship. Is it possible to have a spiritual relationship where there's no material affinity? And the answer is yes. And that's possible with God in the center. So here's your son. Like he wants to go and play, but he's happy to be here because you want him to be here. And you want him to be here because he'll be hearing something that will be beneficial for him. And he doesn't exactly understand that, but he's happy to stay here. So there's affinity. There's affinity. And, you know, because he's your son and you're his father, there's affinity. Kunti's prayer is let the affinity go to the soul. Let the material portion be removed. She's praying to Krishna for that. And so it's possible to have a relationship spirit soul to spirit soul, or spirit soul to spirit soul, or spirit soul to spirit soul, if Krishna is in the center. That is, you're serving Krishna, he's serving Krishna, she's serving Krishna, and you have a spiritual relationship soul to soul. With Krishna in the center. You still have a relationship with one another, but Krishna is in the center. Then it's soul-to-soul relationship. And that's where respect reaches its, you know, perfection. Apex. And then there's harmony. And then, you know, the material influences can't come in. The material influences are going to be there, but they can't come in. So now I'll go the other direction. When Krishna is not so clearly in the center, then, you know, it's sometimes up and sometimes down. Things are going great, zoom, 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 and then all of a sudden there's a crash. What happened? Material energy came in. Look in those circumstances and see how strongly Krishna is in the center or not. I'll say the same thing in a very different way, but it's the same thing. Once Prabhupada was asked, if there's a flu going around, because the devotees had several had a flu and some didn't have a flu, so the devotee asked, Prabhupada, does it matter? Karma? One gets the flu and the other doesn't get the flu? Prabhupada answered, when one's resistance is strong, one will not contract the disease. When one's resistance is weak, one will contract the disease. But it's not exactly karma. It's, you know, as far as flu is concerned, how strong is your immune system? If your immune system can fight off the flu, you won't contract the flu. Similarly, if your Krishna consciousness is strong, then the influence of the material energy isn't going to enter. If your connection with Krishna is not strong, harmony and respect will go down on the spiritual platform. There may be the other kind of respect that this, the sine curve. We all know that one. You know, in relationships or in life, you know, enthusiasm or happiness or happiness and distress and the mix of the two, and one can remain always happy, one can remain always respectful and harmonious if there's a spiritual conception and Krishna's in the center. And then the material energy can't enter. The material energy is there. It's not going to stop acting. When you, because you're a devotee, you go outside and the rain stops. No. It doesn't get, it's not cold anymore. Or it's not hot anymore. It's not like that. But it's not affecting you. You're immune to the flu. Although the flu is all around you. So what's that's the concept or the model. And so how to get there? You practice Krishna consciousness. You two main things: chanting and hearing. Hearing both the chanting, but also hearing spiritual topics presented in Bhagavad Gita. So that way, the mind is becoming purified, the intelligence is becoming purified, consciousness is becoming purified. Your sense of discrimination, of discerning things, becomes spiritualized. So then you have the basis and support for moving steadily and straight on a spiritual path. While over here, the chanting of the holy name is going on to make the heart pure. And that's the how to get there. You get on the train that has two tracks, one that makes the heart pure, the other that gives direction to my activities, so I can, with a spiritual conception, show respect. And whether or not, respect comes back. Whoa, that's the tough one. But that's the spiritual platform. Amanina manadena, in Lord Chaitanya's language. Offering all respect to others without any respect, without expectation of respect in return. No. When marriages or relationships start to go funny, there's the scorekeeping game. Like, you know, I yielded so many times to you, how come it always has to be your way and can't be my way? Everyone knows that. And when there's on the spiritual platform, there's Prabhupada's phrase is give and take. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it goes my way, and no one's keeping score. It's a principle, sometimes and sometimes. And the basis of that sometimes and sometimes, give and take, basis of it is love and trust. That's, you know, that's a big topic, love and trust. How do I earn the trust of others? By being trustworthy. It doesn't start over there, it starts over here. Be what you want your spouse to be. And don't keep score. Be what you'd like the member of the community to be. And you, so you cultivate that on the strength of, you know, the foundation is hearing and chanting. To make the heart pure and to guide your activity, and then according to what you understand, try to be that which the scripture says to be, and be consistently like that, and then you're trustworthy. And then you can be on this steady platform of give and take, sometimes and sometimes, and no one's keeping score. You lose that, the foundation is the hearing and chanting. If that's not strong, the other will also be weak. Sometimes I'll get the flu, sometimes I won't get the flu. Sometimes I'll be affected by material energy and, you know, and speak something angry and harsh and, you know, then feel bad about it. You know, why did I speak like that to my son? He's just a nice boy, and it was so hard on him. Then you go and apologize and hug him, and, you know, then he says, okay, Dad, but, you know, don't do it again, please, because you're big and I'm small. Or whatever it is. Or your wife, you know, please. And, you know, too many times, and it erodes trust. So to stay on the spiritual platform, it very much requires strong practices of hearing and chanting. Chanting and hearing. And, you know, sustained over a period of time. So that's like clean. The heart's clean. And the sense of being guided from within by scripture is clear and consistent. Because there's some sincerity inside that says, I want to move toward Krishna. I want to be in a good instrument of Krishna in serving my wife and my child. And I know that I have mistakes. I know that they know that I have some shortcomings. But they, you know, there is some sincerity there, and so just consistently striving according to that, then that's a basis for trust. The hearing and chanting is strong, that sincerity is there, the continual effort is there, making apology for mistakes and trying not to repeat them again, then there's basis of trust. Even I'm this not perfect being. And that keeps the material energy away. Stays on the respect and harmony platform. I'm giving a spiritual solution because I don't think there is a material solution. It's very flickering. Something like building a castle in the sand. And then the tide comes in. There goes the castle. It'll build on the proper foundation. Spiritual foundation. So that's some thoughts on that topic. This, to just move a little bit, because it's very close, is unity in diversity, Prabhupada's phrase. So the diversity principle is you're different, your son's different, your wife is different. And where there's differences, that can cause friction, or it can be an impetus for respect. You respect the differences, as you would like the other members of your family, your son and your wife, to respect who you are, similarly as you would like them to respect your nature and your character, they should also, you should respect their nature and their character. And then you can have this harmony where there's respect for the differences. So the thing that's commonly, the thing that's missing in that is, where's the unity? And the unity, it's a spiritual conception, where the unity is, what do we all share? We're eternal part and parcels of God. And where we share that we're meant spiritually for His service. So let us serve together. That's what a family is. That's what a community is. That's what any harmonious functioning group is. And with that, just like, say, within a group, commonly, when there's groups, by God's arrangement, there's a leader, because He's the leader of all of us. So within a group of people, there's, as above, so below, there's a leader. And someone respects the leader, because that's they have leadership quality. You know, I just like, you know, reading my book or singing the kirtan or cooking or, you know, something. And then someone is really good at leading, so that's, I'm happy that they're good at leading, because I like reading my book or singing the kirtan or cooking the offering or being with the children, or, you know, I don't want to deal with all that stuff. But some people, it's like that's the ability that Krishna has given them, and so respect should go to that leader. Even the leader's not a perfect person, like I'm not a perfect person. Because there's respect, I know there's communication, but I'm going to honor the position of leader. And so that, and within a family, same thing. That's very clear in Vedic culture, the head of the family. But the head of the family doesn't like walk around with an iron fist and hammer people. The head of the family listens very carefully to the members of the family and then makes decisions to lead the family. Then the family follows that leadership. And when that dynamic is there, respect and respect, then things can go smoothly. And so it takes some, the unity principle has to be strong. And the diversity principle also has to be respected and strong. Because we're all individuals. And when they're in nice balance, unity and diversity, family, community, and groups of persons can move very nicely. It's like one of the things that parents have to teach their children, how to share their stuff, right? Okay, now you got a toy, but you should share it with the other ones.
No, it's mine.
And, you know, anyway, and it's one of the things that parents want children to do is, like, you know, be sociable. You know this because you're parents. And as with children, so with, you know, big children like us, adults, we need to respect one another, and whatever it is that we have, we're willing to, you know, entrust it to others who can use it nicely, and so on. And when there's a nice community atmosphere, that goes on. Some family member has an illness, or somebody gets hospitalized, or something, and, you know, then everyone's there to help them, because that's what community people do. We help one another because we care about one another. So it can stay on the material platform, but it better, and far better, is it goes to the spiritual platform, because this is another personality, another spirit soul, that Krishna is giving me the opportunity to serve. You put Krishna in the center. That's where you have a really good, strong community. And when you start associating together as a community, I'm sure you're finding it already, just like in marriage. Before you're married, you don't know the shortcomings of your spouse. And you get married, and very quickly you learn their shortcomings, because you live together. She knows yours, and you know hers, and you know each other's shortcomings. Now what are you going to do? You help one another with those shortcomings. You know, like, look at your shortcomings. Well, let me tell you about yours. And then you don't have respect. You don't have harmony. So you serve one another. And same thing in a community. Someone has a shortcoming, or a few of them, or a bunch of them. Now, how can I be of service? And I may not have the capacity. Maybe it's better someone else does, because I don't have the capacity. Or I've got my own... Anyway, those things get worked out when there's a leader that helps people, and a basic paradigm of spiritual conception, trying to see each other that way, because we're accustomed to seeing each other in a different way, and see ourselves in a different way, see oneself and each other in that spiritual conception. And a leader should be one who can help people move at least one step in the direction of the spiritual conception. And the people, the good followers, one who's willing to take not too big of a step, but some step in the right direction with proper support and guidance. Then you can have a spiritual community. The spiritual community doesn't necessitate a temple, although a temple can have a spiritual community too, and here in Boston there's a spiritual community, but there are places in the world where it's unlawful to have a temple. The Middle East and China and Singapore and things like that. So they have to have communities that don't have temples. For example, Fargo, North Dakota, there's no temple, but there's devotees, and they have a community. So these principles apply. Just to summarize, the foundation of them is hearing and chanting. That's Bhagavad Dharma. And that's done regularly, attentively, nicely, sincerely. Then you can have spiritual relationships. You have spiritual conception, and with that spiritual relationships, where there is what you're describing, or asking about harmony and respect, where the material energy, so what to do when you see the material energy starting to encroach? Not just yell at the material energy. You go back to, hit the reset button and go back to the foundation activities of hearing and chanting. As a family, if there's something that arises and there's some tension, and you everybody senses there's some tension, but you don't want to talk too much about the tension because it makes you uncomfortable, talk about your hearing and chanting and strengthen that. And then from that position, then we can talk about whatever the tension thing was. And then it doesn't become an overwhelmingly big issue. It becomes some issue that you can then intelligently, peacefully address, and address the problem that's causing the tension. I've been talking a long time. Any comments on all of this? Yes.
Maharaj, I really appreciate your observation that there's no material solutions to this project that we're all involved in, raising families. There needs to be a spiritual center. I was wondering, what would you recommend when someone has a dependent in their family that does not want to have a God-centered relationship?
Kick them out. No. I can think of two things. One is allow that, you respect that. Don't impose, don't demand, don't judge, don't criticize, because you're going to get a pushback if that's the case. And try to create an atmosphere that is inviting. And if those two things are there, even if those two things aren't there, for sure what's going to happen is there's going to be bumps in the road for that person that doesn't want a spiritual center in their life. And when those bumps in the road come, they're going to say, ouch. And they're going to look for something to relieve the ouch. And if there's a nice spiritual alternative, maybe by stubbornness they won't, but maybe they'll see, wow, there's some shelter over here. It's kind of like in the workplace too. You know, common. I've said it, but devotees have said, yes, Maharaj, it's true, and it's true. If you're one of the services that you can do in the workplace, as you can do in your family, is be Krishna conscious. Be the walking example of someone who's carrying bhakti in their heart. So do that in the family or the workplace. And when disturbances come, you don't become disturbed, you remain undisturbed because you're carrying bhakti in your heart. You don't get involved in the workplace in the backbiting, backstabbing, blaming, fault-finding, the project isn't done because of them, and all that stuff that goes on in the workplace. You just don't participate in that. You're just happily going along doing your service to Krishna in the workplace. And people pick up on it. Hey, this person doesn't get disturbed. And then when they have a calamity in their life, they go to the person that's the spiritual person that doesn't get disturbed, and they say it. You know, I don't know what your thing is, but you're clearly a spiritual person. And I've got this problem. Can I share it with you? It happens. I've had devotees say it over and over again. Over and over again. Just by being Krishna conscious. As an example in the workplace. Well, you don't have to tell them anything about Krishna. Just be carry bhakti. And behave like Krishna's on this side, and Prabhupada's on this side, and they're watching you. And you're trying to please them by what you speak, how you work, your habits, everything. And you move in the workplace, or you move in the home in that way, and the person that has a problem is going to say, you know, can you help me with this problem? Maybe out of pride they won't, but they're feeling something. That's by making an inviting atmosphere and not judging the other person. With that judging comes some vibrations. Even you may not say something. Man, you're no good because you don't have an attraction for Krishna. That's what I think of you. But you don't say it, you just vibe it. You give that vibration to the person. So that's not good. Very uninviting. You just accept. That's the place where they are right now. Now, what am I going to do about that? I'm going to be Krishna conscious. And be warm and friendly and inviting and like that. Be a good example. It's not easy when you're living in a family with that situation, but that's the principle to follow. Do you have something?
Yeah, actually, I have a situation where the family member is also into spiritual activities. When I share all my happenings or my pleasure that I get by chanting or listening to the devotional speeches.
Yeah.
she enjoys it, she says, yes, I understand all that, but I want her also to join Krishna Conscious. How do I make her do it?
No. Take that word out. You can't make anybody do anything. If you stop trying to make her do it, and it might be more likely to happen.
I also want her to enjoy the bliss that I am.
Yeah, but what the language tells something. Just, you know, if just let Krishna consciousness, your Krishna consciousness, and the process of Krishna consciousness be so attractive that they'll want to pick it up. But if you were trying to make them, or then wait a minute. I value my independence. And if I get too close to this person, they're going to impose their stuff on me. And I value my independence. Let me make a choice here. But don't impose it on me, please. That's one of the issues, that's not the only one, but it's one of the issues that some people complain. Why are you proselytizing? That's like the big word out there. Or like a family word is, why are you pushing this? Leave me alone. You're happy, be happy. Let me be happy. But anyway, just be so, happy and warm and kind and all the qualities of a devotee. That's magnetic. They're iron filing and you're a magnet. You'll attract them. Krishna will attract them.
In fact, she acknowledges the transformation in me, and she says
that speaks volumes. That speaks more than any of the words that you're going to say.
She's not here. She's actually in India. But from there, whenever I speak to her, she's like, she finds the transformation in me, and she says, "This is awesome. This is what I was looking for."
That's compelling. Just keep doing it. Don't push. Attract. Be magnetic. Are we okay with?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let go of your expectation for her. There's another way to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't impose your expectations on her. Be her well-wisher, that's fine. But the way to be her best well-wisher is just be so happy. Be so kind. Be consistently. Be happy. And be kind. And you'll go out of your way to, do nice things and say nice things and be a nice person, and she'll go, wow. What's your secret? Let her ask you. Then you can say, I don't want to impose anything on you. No, I want you to tell me. I'm your relative, and you know how relatives are. If I start telling you, think I'm getting preachy with you, and I don't want that. Let me just be happy. You be happy that I'm happy. No, I'm going to find out what your thing is. Okay, well, here's a little something. Little drops at a time. Like that. Little ones. Not the whole thing. It's a mistake that commonly devotees make with family members. They try to look at all this wonderful stuff, and it's like putting 10 big logs on a little flame, and it puts out the flame. Put a little twig on the flame and watch it burn, and fan it. And then ask them, how did you like it? Oh, it was really nice. I chanted one round. I did it for a week. Really, that's nice. And he was ready for the another twig. I'll send you a little book. Yeah. Okay.
Many times it happens that we understand how important it is or how good it is gonna be, whether it's chanting or hearing or any other thing which you want to do to improve yourself.
I'm waiting for the but.
But you fail to give up the power. So how do you execute what you want to do?
Is it a time management question?
No. Is it basically anything? Let's say I want to do chanting, but I always decide, okay, tomorrow I'll do it. But the tomorrow never comes because...
Tomorrow comes every time.
But the tomorrow of chanting never comes because you are like, okay, I'll push aside. I have so many things to do. Let's push aside. So,
well, the
whether it's for chanting or for anything I want to execute, how you transform it, what you decide into action?
Well, okay, now that's a different question. But the answer to your first question is commitment. Let me ask you a question about your training of your son. You ever ask your son, can you please clean your room? Never.
No, I just ask him to clean toys, that's enough for me.
Okay. But something that you'd like to see him do.
Yeah.
Whatever that something is. You know, do your homework or whatever the something is. What does he always ask you to do? Finish your homework?
That would be hilarious because I'm a good book.
Oh, okay. Something. Well, there's always something. Whatever that something is.
Okay.
And you know, you ask him, and it happens for a while, and then it doesn't happen.
Yes.
And then you remind him, you know, maybe 20 times, and then it happens, starts happening again, and then. So what makes the difference between the underperformance and regular performance? It's the commitment that says, okay, Mom, I know you want me to do this. Because it's good for me, I commit to you, I'll do it. And then that happens every day. Because of commitment. So also with yourself. The commitment, part of it is a commitment to like self-improvement. But then there's a higher kind of commitment, a commitment to God or spiritual authority, or you like. And so, but just with commitment, then without commitment, nothing happens. And even materially. What to speak of spiritually. So the same principle applies, commitment. And then make a commitment that's small, you know, incremental. Is it really difficult for me to, whatever it is, chant? You know, whatever it is, you know, say supposing it's chanting, to chant every day, or you know, to offer the food that I cook, I'm going to offer it every day. How long does it take? You know, is it difficult? So I can do that, and I do that, and then I you know do it every day, and it becomes a habit. Well, wow, I can do this one every day. What about the you know, with little success? It opens the door for more success. I can do the next one too. But you know, it's commitment, something that's sustainable, doable, realistic, and then you know. Another item is association. I can't now remember what the second part of your question is, but through association, then it becomes easier. Like, you know, if you chant every day, it's going to be easier to encourage your son to chant every day than, yeah, I don't chant every day, but you should chant every day.
I meditate every day. Trust me.
Okay. Okay, good. So, through association, it makes making a step in the right direction easier. through that there's strength beyond my own strength. That extra strength is not just social support, it's Krishna's internal energy. Because Krishna is pleased by that. One gets closer to the fire, you get warmer. Real simple. So the spiritual sadhu sangha. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says it three times. Sadhu sangha sarva shastre koi. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoi. Bengali. Sarva siddhi, all perfection comes just from lava matra, one fraction of a second of sadhu sangha. All perfection can come. It's very powerful. So through association, you can be stronger than you are today through association. Like Aesop's bundle of sticks. You know that one? No. You know that one?
I know that one.
What did you tell me it?
So this old man was gonna die soon.
That's a long story.
His sons.
There's children.
His sons were fighting a lot.
Okay.
So he had to get a bundle of sticks. So he had each kid to make a bundle of sticks.
Yeah.
But they couldn't. So then he asked everyone to take out an individual stick, and then snap these wheat.
Okay.
So the moral of the story was,
the moral of the story is, if your mom wants you to be a good boy, she is to be a good mom. And a good dad, and then you'll be a good boy. Then you're a bundle of sticks. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So in a relationship, and not necessarily within a family, maybe even friendships, let us say the other person is spiritually strong and you are less so. So in that case, if you feel like you are pulling the other person down in his spiritual growth, do you move away?
No. Not at all. Now we're speaking in spiritual circles. So in spiritual circles, there are different types of relationships. One of them is associating with more advanced. Another is associating with peers. Another is giving association to less advanced. So If one is in the more advanced, I'm not going to think, well, I don't want to be around this person because they're pulling me down. It's a relationship. It's back to this question of respect and harmony. It's a service. This, and this, they're just varieties of service. Service to Krishna, service to Krishna, service to Krishna. Service to Krishna. That's at the heart. So now I'm down here and with someone that's more advanced. It's not like I'm pulling them down. It's part of my service to approach them and part of their service to help me. It's a service relationship with Krishna in the center. You can't pull them down because they're connected to Krishna. But Krishna is pleased when there's that exchange. But there's varieties. There's, you know, however someone may be less strong than another, there's someone less strong than that person. And then that person who's less strong than that person, they can, in their own way, in their own capacity, try to extend kindness to that person that's less strong. Not unwisely and foolishly, but you know, reasonably and kindly extend something. Here's some prasadam or Hare Krishna or something. Something. We get a bundle of sticks together and go and on Harinam. And I'm less advanced, but here I am giving something. Or let's go serve prasadam together at some place and I'm the less strong member of this group, but you know, we're doing something together. So I can extend compassion to others, kindness to others, to and to receive from others. It's a service paradigm. There's different varieties of it. Better? Yes.
I have one question. When we have relationships like friends or relatives, when we have a person who talks about us or about our family members, even though it is good, we try to get away from that because it's going to invite pride, and which is going to nourish the ego, which is not good for us. Because our intention is to serve us Krishna. If it is somebody outside, we can move away from them, or get them also into spiritual life. But if one of our very close relatives or the person is very close to our relationship, if that person is like that, with a good intention they share about us or about our advances or about the skills that we develop, to everybody we see.
When you say discuss about us, that means like, oh, like your husband was saying, you've changed so much, this is so nice, and praise, and praise, and praise. So, here's what you need to learn. Like, you know, Krishna Consciousness 201. 101 is how to practice Krishna Consciousness. 201 is when something comes your way from having practiced Krishna Consciousness nicely, what do you do? Your option is run away. But what you need to learn is another option. The option is that praise is not for you. That praise is for our founder Acharya and the predecessor Acharyas and their great mercy, and somehow their great mercy came into your life and you're just like innocently loitering in the material world somewhere. And they came out of their way and gave some mercy. So, you think this is nice? There's where the praise goes. Just transparent, whoop, right through you. And you should see there's so many persons that are receiving this mercy, and you know, get out your mercy bucket. Grab some. Like that. Then it's just, so it's transparency. It's not false ego. Then it can't pump you up and you get proud. It's just...
And the second part of that question is, when this message goes to others, not everybody's in, you know, is going to be happy. There are some people who pass on the negative energy.
Sure.
Or so, you're doing this, you're doing that, kind of...
Sure.
Kind of negative energy that...
Know all about it. Know all about it. So now what?
So how do we
correct ourselves?
Shield ourselves from those kind of negative energies so that because of that.
You know Lord Chaitanya's teaching? Trinadapi Sunichena. You know that one? So I suggest next time you have a gathering you discuss Shikshastakam 3. But it's, you remain humble. Without expectation of anything. Or, we'll go to Krishna's early instruction in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Ma prasparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukadupada agama payo nityas tangsatiksha svabharata. Chapter 2, text, like something 12, 11, something like that. Tolerate. Because it's duality. Sometimes it's like spring, and sometimes it's like rain. Sometimes it's light, and sometimes it's dark. Sometimes there's happiness, sometimes there's distress. Sometimes there's honor, sometimes there's dishonor. What's Krishna's instruction? To tolerate. To tiksha. And when you tolerate, you need to withdraw consciousness from that negativity and place it somewhere. He'll place it upon Krishna. Not just tolerate, like grit your teeth and say, you know, I want to bash that person right in the mouth. But I know devotees aren't supposed to do that, so. You know, or run away. You give your, don't give your attention to Krishna.
When you say that you give attention, what exactly you do? Like chanting?
Hearing and chanting. Immerse, you know, like, you know, think about, yeah, I really like being in the company of devotees, and it'll make you appreciate the company of devotees all the more, and think, you know, what can I do to help be a better member of this sangha of nice devotees? Maybe I can do something. So you put thoughts into service to the devotees, or something that you, or just pick up your bead bag and start chanting. Or something that you've heard and understood, and you bring your attention there. Think about how you like your son to be such a nice devotee. And how can I be a good example as a mother to help? So just like put your attention in Krishna's service. And that just diminishes. If that's missing, that becomes really big. But if Krishna thought is there, it's insignificant. Insignificant. It's not significant. It's the material energy. Today it's raining. You tolerate it. Think about the service that you have to do today and tomorrow rather than, oh, it's been raining for 2 days. Yeah? Okay. It's time to pass out some Mahaprasadam. When I came, I brought with me some Mahaprasadam from Radha Govinda Temple. You'll say more than Haribol when you taste it.